Mobility Matters is supported with funding from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration in the interest of information exchange. The NJTPA and FHWA assume no liability for its contents.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest. But of all the places I can't think of, I like Jersey best. Betting halls and shopping malls and good old Rutgers U. 47 shoe stores line Route 22.
The good morning, lands, the and welcome to Mobility Matters. I'm your host, Bill Neary. Today, my guest and I are discussing electric vehicles and their impacts they'll have on mobility. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I'm the executive director of Keep Middlesex Moving, Middlesex County's nonprofit transportation management association. For over 30 years, KMM has been working with commuters, employers, local, county, and state government to reduce traffic congestion and to improve our air quality. We promote and support carpools, van pools, mass transit, and bicycling and walking. We provide timely information about the road and transit conditions in the county. We present safety programming for children, for teens, and for all ages of adults. And you can see not only does mobility matter, but safety does as well. Today, we're once again fortunate to have an excellent panel. My guests are going to be Rashad Bajwa, the president of Domain Computer Services, Mark Warner from Gable Associations and Charge EVC. We've got the director of planning from the Township of North Brunswick, Tom Vigna. And from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority, the Director of Environmental and Sustainable Programs, Jeffrey Perlman. I want to thank you all for coming. We'll start our discussion, but I think it's important that in New Jersey, we should be aware of the fact that motor vehicles are the number one source of greenhouse gas pollution. Emissions from cars and from light trucks account for nearly 30% of our total hydrocarbons and oxides of nitrogen emissions in the air. This contributes to the formation of ground-level ozone or the smog that we see during the summer months. All of us and anyone listening can help slow down climate change and reduce air pollution. When you purchase a new vehicle, you can make a choice that improves our air quality and our global climate. You can do this by purchasing an electric-powered vehicle. People sometimes see electric vehicles as something in the future, but I think it's important for us to realize that it's here. The EVs are here. In 2011, there was only 330 electric-powered vehicles in New Jersey. In 2018, there was 23,000. Projections are by 2025, we'll have over 300,000 electric vehicles. It's important to understand the changes that will be in our mobility and the changes in our lifestyle and certainly the changes we can make to our environment. So our first guest, we have Mark Warner. Mark, you are with Charge EVC, which is a consortium of 35 different members promoting the uses of electric vehicles in New Jersey. I think we should just start with electric vehicle 101. It seems complicated for people who have never driven one or never been in one to think it's something new and maybe George Jetson-like, but I think it's a little bit better than that, a little bit easier than that. Can you give us a little examples?
Sure. Thank you, Bill, for inviting us this morning and to share what I think is really the good news about electric vehicles. And you're right. It's something that's very real and possible for consumers today, but most people just don't know about it. And if they did, I think they'd be really excited about it. So let's start with what is an electric vehicle? The simple answer is it's a car, just like any other car that you might buy, that's powered by electricity rather than powered by gasoline. So if you own an electric vehicle, you would typically charge that car at home every night, just the way you charge your cell phone. That electricity provides power for the car throughout your day. And then when you come home at night, you charge it again. You'll never go to another gas station. There are a lot of benefits that go along with having an electric vehicle. First of all, it costs a lot less to fuel with electricity rather than gasoline. In New Jersey, you spend about 11 cents a mile to fuel with gasoline. With electricity, it's about 5 cents a mile. So you're going to cut your expenses for operating that vehicle in half just for the fuel, as well as probably having significantly lower maintenance costs.
Aren't people really concerned, though, that what if I run out of electricity? There's not an electric gas station around the corner.
You're right. That is a concern for many people, but that concern is dropping quickly as the cars get better. So, you know, even 5 years ago, a lot of the cars only had 30 or 50 miles of range. But now there are quite a few vehicles on the market that have over 200 miles of range. And that's more than enough to get just about everybody through their daily travels. But having said that, there are still occasions where you may need to charge in public, and we're starting to build those public charging stations. You may only need to go to it a couple of times a year because, again, you're charging mostly at home. But in those rare occasions where you need to charge on the road, those public facilities are being built.
And I think that's what we're going to be talking about in future segments as we go through this discussion today. The range anxiety is obviously something that people think about, but 94% of the time your car sits anyway, not being used.
That's right. I mean,
so when you think about how little you actually use your car during the course of a day, there's definitely time for charging.
Well, and that's what makes electric vehicles work, to tell you the truth, is cars spend most of your time not moving, and if while they're not moving you can have them charging, then they're always ready to go.
Well, I know there's going to be some changes. Let's just say when we do get to the 300, 400,000 people driving electric vehicles, our grid in New Jersey is going to have to be looked at also. We're going to have to make sure that the transformers we have on our telephone poles can control that kind of or increase that amount of capacity.
That's absolutely right, and we've looked at that in a very proactive way. You mentioned Charge EVC. I help lead our research and policy development work for that organization. It's a group of very diverse stakeholders that all share an interest in promoting electric vehicles in New Jersey, and they commissioned a study that we did a little over a year ago to look at what the benefits of electrification are, as well as what some of the costs might be, particularly regarding the impact to the grid. The good news is that short term, the grid is so big that we can support tens of thousands of vehicles without there being a significant impact. But when we start to get up into hundreds of thousands of vehicles, there will be an impact, and that's why it's important that the utilities get involved now and can be planning for that and account for that. And in fact, what we found in the study is that electric vehicles can actually help improve the operation of the grid, because if we have a lot of those vehicles charging at home at night, that levels out the load on the grid and can make it much more efficient. So one of the benefits of everybody adopting an electric vehicle is that everybody's cost of electricity goes down a little bit because the grid can be more efficient. So you save money on your operating of your car, electricity cost goes down, and there's a huge environmental benefit.
Well, back when we made electricity with coal, it wasn't necessarily as pollution positive as it would be today because of the way we can make electricity in a much more environmentally friendly way now.
Well, that's right. And even with coal, to tell you the truth, you're still better off because power plants are so much more efficient. But in New Jersey, our generation base is very, very clean. So in this state, every electrically fueled mile is about 70% cleaner than a gasoline fueled mile. So you can save money and be a heck of a lot cleaner at the same time.
Well, I know other countries are really promoting real big time electric vehicles. New Jersey has an opportunity to actually do something big, too, and be one of the leaders. And I think some of the things going through Trenton right now makes it possible that we can see some real changes.
Absolutely. I mean, as many of our listeners know, New Jersey has been a leader in solar power development. You know, 15 years ago, it was sort of like you describe EVs now. Most people didn't know about it. But now everybody's used to seeing solar panels everywhere. We're sort of at that stage with electric vehicles. And the bad news is New Jersey's really done nothing to help encourage the electric vehicle market, but we're in the process now of putting some new policies in place. There is legislation being developed in New Jersey that would make New Jersey a leader in the nation and make it a lot easier for people to get the chargers that they need to charge the vehicles and to get the vehicles themselves.
Well, the market itself will make it possible, too. Once mm-hmm. people can appreciate the value of having an electric vehicle, not just – you mentioned briefly about the – I mentioned mostly about the environmental thing.
Right.
I think the thing about the maintenance cost and the drivability makes it even a better product than everybody.
Right. And I think it's important for people to know when we talk – a lot of people have in their mind that these are like, you know, souped-up golf carts. That's not the case. These are full-blown vehicles from major auto manufacturers. They are as comfortable and luxurious and loaded with tech as any other car that you might buy, if not more so. And they're really, really fun to drive. So these are cars from every brand. Basically, every manufacturer has announced that they will be electrifying their line over the next decade or so. So these are real cars that are super fun to drive and have a lot of other benefits as well.
And Rashad, you were going to say about how powerful they are.
Oh, yeah. No. So definitely powerful. And I think you guys touched on a little of this already, where it's that fear of the unknown. And New Jersey is, I think, getting to that, and what's coming through Trenton is hopefully going to really help us move the needle on it. But if you go to other areas, like if you go to California, for example, right now, the fear of the unknown with electric cars, they have really moved the needle on that because of a lot of the state incentives. And so for us, from a perspective in New Jersey, it's really understanding what an electric car is, understanding that the Chevy Volts, the Prius Primes, the Nissan Leafs, the Teslas, not only are they practical for our use, but they are ahead of the time and have so many additional benefits. I always say I feel like the person who was driving the Model T back in 1905 when everyone else said horse and carriage. You know, they were intimidated. They were afraid of the unknown, and it's a matter of taking that leap.
And I think that's where we're going to take our first break to talk about how these type of adjustments will be made to our society.
Think it's safe to text or talk on your cell phone while you drive? No way, no how, not ever. Nearly 6,000 people died last year from distracted driving. So forget the phone and mind the road. Learn more about distracted driving at KMM.org or call Keep Middlesex Moving at 732-745-4465. That's KMM.org. Funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability for its contents.
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are you liking Keep Middlesex Moving on Facebook, following them on Twitter, and safely snapping pictures of your commute on Instagram? Connect with KMM online and find out what everyone is talking about. Download the free NJ Traffic app, register for our carpool, get your New Jersey Transit bus and transit info, and access to their fantastic giveaway programs. To connect with KMM online, log on to KMM.org and click on the Facebook and Twitter icon, funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability for its contents.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before.
Well, welcome back.
I've been
We're here with Mobility Matters with our guest Rashad Bajwa from Domain Computer Services, Mark Warner from Gable Associates in charge EVC, Tom Vignett, Planning Director at Township of North Brunswick, and Jeffrey Perlman from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority. I'm Bill Neary, and I want to thank you for joining us today. But before we get back to our topic of electric vehicles, you might wonder why we're doing these distracted driving ads. It's because April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. It's a really serious problem. During the daylight hours, approximately 481,000 people are using their cell phones while they're driving. In 2015, 391,000 people were injured in motor vehicle crashes because they were distracted. And in 2016 alone, 3,450 people were killed due to their distracted driving. So, folks, if you're driving and listening to us right now, put your phone down. And back to today's topic about electric vehicles. When we left off before our break, we had Rashad Bajwa coming on to talk about his business, Domain Computer Systems, about what they can do in terms of a business model and a fleet model for how electric vehicles really fit into what they need to do to be profitable and clean at the same time. So if you want to give us a little background in your company, Rashad, and talk a little bit about why you think it's a good idea that your fleet should be all electric vehicles.
No. Thank you, Bill, for that. And thank you for having this conversation, because I think it's a very timely one, in particular for the business community to understand. So Domain started having – and so Domain is an IT services firm. We service New Jersey, New York City, metro area. And as part of that
– But you're based in Middlesex County.
But we're based in Middlesex County. Exactly right. But as part of that, we have a fleet of vehicles. And so we used to have a fleet of Honda CRVs, you know, typical standard SUV that we would use to service our client base. And we were paying about $350 per month for the lease for that vehicle. And this is going back – I want to say probably about 5-6 years now, when the Chevy Volt first came out, we decided to give that a shot. I mean, electric vehicles were a personal thing, a passion of mine to move us for environmental reasons and a whole bunch of other things. But we figured let's give it a shot. Let's see how it works as part of a fleet. And my goodness, we didn't know what to expect because it was the fear of the unknown. We didn't know exactly whether we would save money, whether it would cost more, whether it would be a pain to maintain, all of that sort of stuff. And so the good news is not only was the Chevy Volt, because of subsidies and things along those lines, but even without that, because the price came down, It was about the exact same price on a monthly basis. It was about $350 per month for the lease of the Chevy Volt. Unfortunately, the Volt is now discontinued, but now we've moved on to Prius Primes. And so we saved money there, or a pretty comparable, but from a fuel point of view. And by the way, the Prius Primes and the Chevy Volts are plug-in hybrids, so they're not full electric, and because New Jersey, definitely 5 years ago, was not at the point where we had the comfort, that range anxiety that I think we talked about and when we'll touch on a little bit more. We wanted to have that backup, that belt and suspenders of that of a gas option there as well. But anywhere, those cars ranged anywhere from 70 to 150 miles per gallon. So that alone was a significant discount from what we were paying in our gas vehicles. So just on our expenditure on fuel, when transportation is a significant portion of your costs and expenses in running a business, it's dramatic. And so I don't think it's pure coincidence that you see UPS and FedEx and a lot of these other folks who drive vehicles for a living looking into this. Yes, a big part of it is they want to do good. And they want to help improve that carbon situation and our air quality, but a lot of it's in enlightened self-interest. There's a cost savings as well.
Well, I think one of the things that we're concerned about, of course, in terms of cost, obviously the price of gasoline and fuels has the gas tax that pays for our infrastructure, and the gas tax, as controversial as it is where we get our revenue to pay for the things we need for our roads and bridges. Electric vehicles obviously are not doing that right now, and there will be discussions in the future, I'm sure, about vehicle miles traveled and how they bill for these type of programs. So the people, when we get hundreds of thousands of people driving electric vehicles, we're going to want them to contribute to this infrastructure also.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's going to happen for sure. Right now we're at a phase where we want to incentivize electric vehicles, and so it's a little bit too early to start implementing that. But yeah, there's definitely going to be some sort of funding of the roads through the electric charging.
But when
as
you're
well.
Talking cost benefit analysis, of course, we never take into account the health benefits of having cleaner air.
Of course,
and that's an important part. I think that people sometimes look at one segment and not the other, and not appreciate the two. Certainly, are money coming out of your pocket, Mark. You have to talk about how the these costs are going to be associated, or?
Well, I was just going to add your comment about, you know, the direct impact on air quality. It's worth pointing out that a lot of those health impacts are concentrated in our urban cores and along travel corridors, where some of our most disadvantaged communities are. And so by getting more and more folks into electric vehicles, it's not like this sort of vague thing that permeates the state. It has the biggest impact where we need the biggest impact. And some of our most challenged communities are going to reap those benefits directly. Even if they aren't in an EV, if everybody that drives by their house is an EV, their air will get cleaner.
Well, you're going to start seeing also the fleets. I mean, the business model that Rashad talks about is that, and the bigger companies with their things. But I think on a municipal level and a government level, you're going to start seeing those type of investments also for exactly that reason. It does have that benefit included in the whole scheme of things when you're talking about electric vehicles.
And I think in particular, you're going to see a lot of businesses who are going to drive this. You know, we all live in New Jersey, 2 minutes away from a major highway where there's and we are the logistics corridor of the Northeast as well with our port. So there's and heavy trucking. There is so much pollution being driven by right in our immediate vicinity that we're not necessarily aware of. But the cost benefit, I think, is really going to move the needle on this. Although you would love everyone to move to cleaner forms of energy just out of the health self-interest, sometimes the connecting the dots there is not as obvious as your wallet. And with the savings and fuel costs, it's pretty dramatic.
And maintenance. Talked about how seldom the oil has to be changed. Never.
and not only oil, you have other things. Like, so for example, regenerative braking. My electric car is now 5 years old, and I've never had to change the brake pads. It's still using – they actually had to take the brake pads off and rinse them just because of – cleaning them off, but the actual brake pad itself was entirely in place. So yeah, there's a ton of cost benefits there that go well beyond just the fuel savings.
Well, I think this is an important thing to look at as the times grow on. But I was going to comment about New Jersey, of course. I always said I can never get totally lost in New Jersey. I'll run into the Turnpike or Parkway someplace along the way. And you can find your way around the state pretty easily. But we are a north-to-south type of state. So I think that's where the environment is going to be important when we get that traffic that goes down our spine. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where electric vehicles are going to be the future. And I think it's really great that we can do that.
And Bill, you mentioned the benefit cost, you know, analysis and making sure we pay attention to that. That was part of our study, and we looked in a very comprehensive way at all the costs related to widespread EV adoption, you know, buying the vehicles and reinforcing the grid and so on. But when you compare that to the numerous costs, the savings on fuel, the reduced maintenance, the environmental benefits that result and so on, it's
the time
hugely
saved not going to gas stations.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's something like a 2-to-3 benefit cost ratio, which is very, very strong. So we'll get – people like to talk about how much is going to cost us, but you have to put it in the context of how much benefit we're going to get. And the benefits far outweigh the costs. And the nice thing about cars is people buy a new car, you know, every 5 to 7 years or so. And so the fleet turns over naturally at a fairly rapid rate. So it's something that can happen quite quickly.
Well, I think it's the car manufacturers are seeing this future also. They're all making it, buying into it. They're all looking at ways. I know you mentioned Audi earlier was going to be a big manufacturer, but even American car makers are really investing heavily in the electrical vehicle market.
Every OEM at this point has now announced at least some level of electrification, some of them with significant commitments. Some of the bigger names are now committing to be 100% electrified within 5 years.
They see the future. They've always looked ahead. That's what they have to do as cars. So I think it's an important thing that we're looking at, the future there. The part I guess I don't quite understand is how difficult people have not accepting the concept. I guess it has more to do with range anxiety and something new and different. We know at the turn of the last century, we talked about how difficult it was for people to understand that horses aren't the only way to get around. But the changes that happened there from the horses, the buggy, horses and buggy to cars, the actual automobiles, was significant. And electric vehicles were around at that time. Thomas Edison had an electric vehicle. I mean, so people did have electric vehicles. But from what I read, it looked like the electric vehicles didn't catch on because so much of America didn't have electricity. It was easier to get gasoline.
And we don't have that problem now. So.
No, we don't have.
Yeah.
And horses did create pollution. There was a problem there. But
yeah.
And the range anxiety is a big deal. I remember when I first had a car, got my first electric car, I would plug in at home every single day because I was afraid what's going to happen tomorrow. And then you get used to it. You get comfortable with it. A friend of mine just bought an electric car 3 days ago, and the biggest thing on his mind was range anxiety. When do I plug in? How do I plug in? But then you get used to it. You realize, you know, I have plenty of range to do what I need to do on a regular basis, and I have electricity everywhere. Electricity is actually far more prevalent than gas stations.
And then what's really different about an EV is every time you pull out of the garage in the morning, you've got a full tank. You know, and that's just a difference in mindset, and it actually you have more mobility with an electric car in many cases than you do with a gasoline vehicle because, as you said, you know, there's wall outlets everywhere, you know. So there's more places to charge than there are gasoline pumps, and that's what makes it feasible for everybody.
But, of course, you have no trouble driving off the half a tank of gas, and we don't have range anxiety over that.
Yes.
And that is one of the issues that people have talked about, batteries being so dangerous. That, you know, what if the batteries explode? And I think a man had said one time at a conference I was at talked about the fact that we've accepted the danger of having 20 gallons of gasoline under a front seat of our car. I think that's just as concerning as anything else.
Far more combustible than lithium-ion batteries.
Far more combustible.
Yeah.
But the problem is, of course, one thing happens, and that becomes the news. Car fires happen all the time, and it's not the discussion too often. So I want to thank you, Rashad, and doing what you have to do in terms of the business community is a great leadership, but I know your commitment to the cleaner air has been going on for 20-plus years when we first started talking about it. So
that's
thank
right.
you. So we'll take a little break now, and we'll come back after the break.
Pedestrians and motorists share the responsibility of keeping our roadways safe. Pedestrians must obey all signs and signals and use marked crosswalks, or they can be ticketed and fined. Motorists in New Jersey must stop and stay stopped for pedestrians in marked crosswalks. Failure to do so can result in motor vehicle points, fines, insurance surcharges, and community service. Remember, pedestrian safety is a shared responsibility.
Brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety.
drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think it's safe to text or talk on your cell phone while you drive? No way, no how, not ever. Nearly 6,000 people died last year from distracted driving. So forget the phone and mind the road. Learn more about distracted driving at KMM.org or call Keep Middlesex Moving at 732-745-4465. That's KMM.org. Funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability for its contents.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of
places.
Back.
We're here with Rashad Bajwa from Domain Computer Systems, Mark Warner from Gable Associates in charge EVC, Tom Vigna, the Township of North Brunswick Planning Director, and Jeffrey Perlman from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority. I think it's important that we continue these discussions about how electric vehicles are so nice and so easy and so cheaper run and so much nicer for the environment. But at the same time, there has to be some plans in place to make these things really functional and to make them so the range anxiety isn't as bad as it is and so that we can reduce those fears. So, Jeff, you work very much with North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority. You guys are always looking into your crystal balls and seeing these type of things happening in the future. So tell us about the NJTPA, North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority, and your work that you're doing looking at how EVs are going to be our future.
Thanks, Bill. And it's really great to be here. And thank you for all the great work you do helping people in Middlesex County with transportation options. So just to explain who the NJTPA is, North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority, we're what's called the Metropolitan Planning Organization. There are over 400 of these regional bodies across the country. And by population, the NJTPA is the five largest. We represent the 13 northern and central New Jersey counties. We are empowered by Congress to plan and program federal transportation dollars for important projects and services to make transportation safer, cleaner, and more efficient. You know, one of the things that we do, one of the main tasks, is to develop a long-range transportation plan. And that helps to decide and prioritize which investments are to be made in the NJTPA region. It also sets the planning work and other programs that we are to be doing. And we update this every 4 years. And we are currently beginning another update, that will be adopted in 2021. The work related to electric vehicles that the agency has taken on really goes back probably 10 years. And it started with the recognition that an increase in global warming gases, carbon dioxide and related global warming gases, are going to pose a threat and have posed a threat to the population, the economy, and particularly the transportation assets within the region.
And I understand the region you're talking about here, the North Jersey Transportation Plan, is talking about 6 million people.
Almost 7 million now.
Almost 7 million people who are impacted by these type of plans.
That's right.
When you see these type of things affecting you, you have to adjust. So 10 years ago, you started thinking about
it. We started thinking about it 10 years ago. We do two types of things related to climate change. We look at the vulnerability of the transportation system to those impacts, sea level rise and storm surge. We also understand we got to mitigate and reduce the amount of greenhouse gases and improve the air quality. Air pollution is a very big issue, as noted. So what we did was we partnered with three municipalities in our region, the Town of Secaucus in Hudson County, the Township of Montclair in Essex County, and Woodbridge Township here in Middlesex County. And we developed local readiness plans. We worked with these municipalities. We worked with township officials and their stakeholders to study the issue, to identify where charging demand is needed, the populations within that municipality that might buy an electric vehicle, and then develop strategies to help those municipalities target the investments and policies that would facilitate the adoption of electric vehicles. And so that work started in 2017. The findings and the things we learned from that work, we then developed a guidebook, a local readiness guidebook that anybody, any municipality in our region, in our state, could use. The resources of all of that is on our website, and I'll put a plug for our website, njtpa.org. On the homepage, type in the search box electric vehicles or alternative fuel vehicles, and you will find the link to the page with those plans. So anybody who's listening, represent a municipal, whether it's a municipal official or a member of an environmental commission, if you want to learn more about the sort of the overall findings of that, visit our website.
Well, I think it's important in New Jersey to understand because of home rule, municipalities do make their own decisions on so many different things. To be able to have this type of assistance is very important. And when we get to talk to Tom Vigna about North Brunswick and their programs, it's good to see how the communities themselves can take some steps and have the planning authority help us with the details is very important.
Right. And you said it, Bill. You know, when we look at, you know, we did this work and along the side of actually doing greenhouse gas inventory emissions for the on-road sector. So if you're a municipality and you want to figure out how to facilitate EV infrastructure chargers in your municipality, you know, you go to our website and find those strategies. And I'm going to identify just a few while in the short segment we have. And also say that we continue to provide, you know, technical assistance to municipalities and counties in our region. And so just real quick, what can municipalities do? You know, our planning study identified a few. First of all, you got to do the planning work and reach out to your stakeholders. You've got to talk to, you know, whether creating a committee or a working group to go talk through all the issues that we've introduced here today. The other thing is to understand the charging needs of your municipality. You know, is your municipality a wealthy, affluent community with lots of single-family homes? You're going to charge at home. If your municipality is largely composed of renters and multifamily housing, that's a whole different challenge. But you have to understand those challenges before you can figure out where you're going to put those chargers and what kind of chargers you're going to need.
And knowing that Rashad is here talking about the business community,
that's
also a very big part
of
it.
I'm getting
to
that. Yes, absolutely. And so that's where the stakeholder group comes in. Where you know, what we did in the three municipalities is we had business community participants on the stakeholder group. The other thing would say, and I'm going to let Tom go into detail, but adopting EV or electric vehicle-friendly ordinances. When we started this work, there were very few. And now there are more. And our agency is monitoring those and hopefully have a whole list of those for other municipalities to look at. You know, really, as you do the planning work, and it's always important to do the planning work, to make sure that you, as you do this work, to integrate it into all elements of municipal planning, master planning, whether housing plans and even your circulation plan. You need to do a complete a fleet analysis. So, you know, from business side, you did an analysis, Rashid. But municipalities buy vehicles all the time, police vehicles, construction code vehicles, you know, health department vehicles. How do you transition your fleet to EVs? That's analysis that local governments can do and take leadership, right? Citizens see the municipality driving EVs around. That's another way to get it out there. And then lastly, I would say increase consumer awareness. This was a very big thing that you've all talked about. Municipalities can do that work. Just for example, Drive Electric Week. It's a national it's this year it's September 14th through the 22nd. And across the country, basically a way to celebrate EVs. And in every community in New Jersey, some resident owns an EV, and they're very proud of the EV they own. And they'll be very happy to show that EV off. And so you can have an event where maybe you work with a local car dealer or business community, right? And they bring the vehicles there. So people who don't know or have never heard of an EV or you know, they can see one. They can test drive one. And it really gets it really makes people more comfortable.
Well, even on a smaller side, KMM this year is having our first ever awards for EVs. The businesses, the communities, anybody who's taking leadership role in this is our way of helping to promote the use of electric vehicles for exactly that reason. We have an award ceremony type of thing where we give the certificates and get to hang it someplace nice. It's just the idea to get the message out. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then lastly, once you've done some of these other things, you know, then you can apply for grants. And there are grants out there to help fund the purchase of electric vehicle chargers. So, you know, the NJDEP runs a pays to plug in program. And recently they announced, you know, almost $10 million worth of grants. I think it was – and, you know, Middlesex County is getting a few – you know, some of those chargers are going into Middlesex County. But across the entire state, there are chargers going in. And, you know, if a municipality wants to receive some of that funding, they need to identify where those chargers are going to go and how they'll be used and who's going to use them. So the planning work is really important to position yourself to be more competitive in this grant process.
But when you're talking about the charging stations themselves and the businesses and the municipalities, I know in New Brunswick, the parking authority has already established some charging stations
That's
in
right.
their parking garages.
That's right.
Johnson & Johnson and several of the other bigger companies are putting charging stations in their parking garages. So things are happening that way in cooperation. And when you're talking about leadership, I think the state has these opportunities to do these things that they're working on. They're working through the system right now in the legislature. People who really think this is an important thing, like I do and I think everybody in this room does, we should definitely get in touch with our legislators to tell them to promote these type of EVs because they're good things for the health, the environment, and safety and everything else involved in terms of why electric vehicles are the future.
And I'll just say one thing while I'm at it is that when we finished the local readiness planning work, and when we started, there were no local or municipal readiness plans in the country. We did a literature search. There are more now, but municipalities will still need technical assistance. And I'm very fortunate to have Jennifer Fogliano in my office, who's the point person on all this work. And we are working with right now Metuchen, Borough of Metuchen in Middlesex County. We've been talking to them about how to plan for electric vehicles. I know some of the council members are on, listening this morning. So and so that's how it's done. I mean, we still provide we can help municipalities in our region with some of that technical assistance, you know, some of the conversations to get the, you know, to get through some of the technical hurdles, you know, some of the understanding and conceptual hurdles. And we have done some analysis that helps municipalities at a sub-municipal level understand where charging demands might be most acute. So we have that information. Again, you reach out to us if you want to learn a little more about the work we've done.
Well, I think it's great that you're also working with DEP and DOT.
That's right. You're working
with the state agencies that are going to be so impacted by these type of changes in our transportation and our mobility. So I think that type of cooperation is important. Sometimes in bigger government, you see the silos. They don't always work together in the same programs, and they're always sometimes in different directions. But electric vehicles fits in both categories really well. It fits well with the environment, and it fits well with transportation. So I think they're the type of things that we see the future coming.
And apropos of that, you know, in the most recent Volkswagen settlement, the grants, the electric charger grants issued by DEP, I believe New Jersey Transit did receive some grants to put in chargers at some of the train stations, including Metro Park.
But you're also talking – they're also using some of that money to provide electric vehicles for moving freight around in the yards and everything else. Electric – they're buying electric locomotives for the trains. So there's things happening that way in terms of electric-powered engines and electric-powered vehicles, not just your own personal cars. And when the fleets are changing also, that's some of the important things I think you're going to see some big changes. Rashida talked about UPS and FedEx looking at these type of things. I think you're going to see some changes on bigger scale. And once that starts happening, I think it's going to be a lot more comfortable for people to be able to buy their own electric vehicle, plug it into their garage if they can, or if they're living in a multifamily place, manage to plug it into a parking space that's been provided for them there. So thanks, Jeff. Anything else you wanted to talk about in terms of how you're doing? NJTPA is involved in so many things. I know we work with you in pedestrian safety programs. We work with you on the Street Smart campaign for pedestrian safety because we're going to have electric vehicles. I think one of the concerns of people with electric vehicles is they're so quiet. Pedestrians may not hear them. So we got to be careful that we listen to the pedestrians have to use their eyes more than their ears anymore when they're crossing the street as we see these things happening. So thank you for joining us. Appreciate that. Anything else you wanted to add in part of NJTPA's great programs?
We do a lot of other planning work. And I want to also, again, the greenhouse gas inventory for the on-road sector is something that you, when you're doing your electric vehicle planning, that you use that information, that inventory that we have also developed. And then we're working with the Borough of Metuchen again. We've given them both our heat maps of where electric chargers are needed and the greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation sector.
Excellent. Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll take a little break now. We'll be back for our final segment.
Are you liking Keep Middlesex Moving on Facebook, following them on Twitter, and safely snapping pictures of your commute on Instagram? Connect with KMM online and find out what everyone is talking about. Download the free NJ Traffic app, register for a carpool, get your New Jersey Transit bus and transit info, and access to their fantastic giveaway programs. To connect with KMM online, log on to KMM.org and click on the Facebook and Twitter icon, funded by the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and the Federal Highway Administration, which assume no liability
quality for its contents.
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pedestrians and motorists share the responsibility of keeping our roadways safe. Pedestrians must obey all signs and signals and use marked crosswalks, or they can be ticketed and fined. Motorists in New Jersey must stop and stay stopped for pedestrians in marked crosswalks. Failure to do so can result in motor vehicle points, fines, insurance surcharges, and community service. Remember, pedestrian safety is a shared responsibility.
Brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. I thought just then it occurred.
Welcome back to our final segment. We're joined here today. Our panel is discussing electric vehicles with Rashad Bajwa from Domain Computer Systems. I'm sorry, Services. I got the name wrong the first time. Mark Warner with Gable Associates and Charge EVC. The Planning Director of Township of North Brunswick, Tom Vigna. And Jeffrey Perlman from the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority. I'm Bill Neary, the Director of Keep Middlesex Moving. I want to thank you for joining us today. We started on a section about talking about EVs generally. 101, talked about how important they are for our future and how they're going to be coming in our future with Mark Warner. We went to how the business can look at this from an economical and environmental way with Rashad and the computer systems. And then Jeff joined us with the program on a planning on a regional basis for 6 million people. But we all know everything ends up back on Main Street in your own backyard. And that's why we're fortunate enough to have the planning director from North Brunswick here, Tom Vigna, because North Brunswick has adopted an ordinance. They're actually way ahead of a lot of communities and new developments that include where electric vehicles are going to be part of their community and leadership and what's happening in the state. So I want to thank you for joining us, talk about Main Street, North Brunswick, and all the great things you're doing over there, because electric vehicles are going to be in North Brunswick ahead of a lot of other towns.
Bill, I want to take this opportunity to thank you on behalf of Mayor Womack and the North Brunswick Township Council for inviting us to share our efforts to both promote sustainability and electric vehicles in particular. So in our discussions, I told you when we talked, I could give you a quick sort of what did we do and how did we get there? So that's what I'm going to try and do in just a couple minutes. So I know you're aware at the fact that North Brunswick, the mayor and council, and the planning board are great supporters of regional planning. We're active together in the Central Jersey Transportation Forum. You and I together prepared a roadshow on smart growth that you've delivered to probably a dozen municipalities throughout the Central Jersey region. I'm also the acting chairman of the County Transportation Coordinating Committee, so I have great support from my mayor and council for regional planning. The township basically believes, Bill, that we can't wait for the federal government and the state to do everything. You know, federal money and state money is limited. So that's a top-down approach. So the mayor, Mayor Womack, and the council, they support sort of a bottom-up approach. So we believe you can achieve regional goals and regional objectives by starting at the bottom and working up through concerted efforts, the concerted effort of municipalities. We think we can attain regional goals.
So by bottom up, Tom, you mean actually let the people, the developers and everything else buy into the program ahead of the time. I think you had said to me one time, if you don't ask, you're not going to get.
Exactly. That was actually the next thing I had outlined here. If you don't ask for it, you don't get it. So that's basically what our approach has been, Bill. And, you know, when we undertook our master plan reexamination 2 years ago, as we were getting to the section about circulation, we started talking about sustainability and impediments to electric vehicles. And after a robust discussion, and we also had some local experience, our assistant business administrator had an electric vehicle a number of years ago. And there were some horror stories at times when she didn't have a place to charge as she was trying to go places. So we discussed it and we said, you know, we have thousands of apartments and condominiums where people don't have access. They don't have their own garages. They can't plug in an electric vehicle. So these people are all at a disadvantage. There's a great disincentive for them to have one. So as we kicked it around more and discussed the problems with range anxiety, we said, hey, once before we were in a similar situation. 10, 12 years ago, we were doing our master plan again. And we talked about the lack of a train station between Princeton Junction and New Brunswick. We worked with the developer and New Jersey Transit, and we put together a zoning overlay for almost 1,900 housing units and 1 million square feet of non-residential. But that would only happen if we got a train station and a bus depot for commuter transportation to New York City. And when we did that, we put in density bonuses, and the planning board talked about it. Wow, they were effective. Costco and Target have solar panels on their roofs. We established density bonuses for additional multifamily housing units if they installed electric vehicle charging stations. We said we did it before. Why can't we just ramp it up and do more? So basically, the planning board adopted a master plan with 3 pages that talked about taking steps to facilitate the use of electric vehicles and breaking down impediments. And, of course, that led to the next step, which was me. You know me well, Bill. I can ask a gazillion questions. And so I became a pseudo-expert with no experience in the real world. I was on
most
the phone
experts
with,
are pseudo to begin with, I think.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate you bailing me out on that one. So, but anyway, I spoke to dozens of providers and experts in the field and picked their brains for hours. And basically, the planning board prepared an ordinance and recommended it to the governing body. And it's an ordinance that basically would mandate the requirement that new developments, any new development or any substantially modified development, would have to incorporate electric vehicle charging stations into the ordinance. Into the development itself. So the planning board put the ordinance together. Again, the Mayor Womack and the governing body were extremely supportive, and the ordinance passed. And we have had it in place now for a number of months. And we have recently approved our first developments that will be putting electric vehicle charging stations in as part of the development.
Well, in all development projects, especially on a municipal level, there's carrots and sticks. I mean, you can't just mandate something and expect a developer only to follow what you want to do. So if you provide some kind of parking bonuses or types of things, and the developer then can see the amenity. If they're building a multi-family or multi-use type of building, they see an amenity to having charging stations as part of the rent that they can then help rent their places even better. So the carrots and sticks approach work really well for developers. If they can see the value of electric vehicles, it's good for them to do it also.
Absolutely. You know, and we're big believers in density bonuses to try and encourage that from developers too. So you know, I mentioned that we recently had some approvals. We've approved almost a 40,000 square foot gym workout center that has 6 electric vehicle charging stations that were approved as part of their site plan. And the ordinance that we adopted, Bill, it requires that various types of uses provide electric vehicle charging stations equal to 3% of the required parking. So up front, we're going to get 3% of the required number of parking spaces will be electric vehicle spaces. We've actually incentivized it. We count each electric vehicle charging space as 2 parking spaces so we don't handicap a developer. And we also require that they provide conduit to allow for the expansion to 7% in the future. And the ordinance includes a standard that when the first time we find out that 100,000 plug-in electric vehicles are sold in the state of New Jersey in any year, at that point in time, they have 6 months to move ahead and ramp up from 3% of these spaces to 7% of the spaces as the number of electric vehicle charging stations.
I think one of the things we've been talking about is charging stations generically. There's so many different kinds. There's going to be the ones that are people plugging into their homes. There's going to be the quick charging you're talking about at a commercial location. And there's going to be different types of charging stations going to be needed. It's got to be a kind of a smorgasbord of what people can use to get rid of this range anxiety that we concern ourselves with. And I think this is where it's good for developers to look at that way too. The type of charging stations they can put in will have an impact on how people use their vehicles.
You're absolutely correct. Like, every charging station is not a good fit for every type of use. And our ordinance actually breaks that down. It breaks it down for places that would have them, that would benefit mostly their employees, warehouses, offices. But there's also charging station requirements for gas stations with large convenience centers. We've been in robust discussions with Wawa and Quick Check, and we're expecting those type of uses to be incorporating electric vehicle charging stations. And they'd have to be a little different, because you don't want people sitting there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours to charge. But there's a station that works and a program that works for all different types of uses.
Yeah, sometimes a 10-minute fast charge will get you another 20, 30, 40 miles, and that'll be enough to take care of this kind of issue of worrying about getting home, which shouldn't be a problem.
No, well, you're absolutely correct.
I know North Brunswick is being copied by several other towns, being a template, working with the North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority and their readiness book. I think we're going to put together a comprehensive plan that people can use, that people be able to develop into the type of programs that I think we see coming. It's a matter of how fast and how quick we can see these type of changes, because the impact is going to be pretty dramatic in terms of our air pollution. I think that's the important part that we talk about.
And, Bill, I would just like to offer, you mentioned that if any municipality is interested in doing this and they want to call up and pick my brains or see exactly what the township did, they can certainly call me or email me or reach out through you at Keep Middlesex Moving, and you could hook us up. But we'd be more than glad to help assist anybody in moving this direction.
Well, that would be for local governments. If you're an individual listening at home and you want to encourage this type of development, I would encourage you to get in touch with your state legislature to talk about how important these type of programs are to you personally and how the impact could be on all of our lives in the future. There are things going into Trenton right now making decisions about these type of things. Support for electric vehicles is an important part of that conversation. I'm going to have... Before we wrap up, I'm going to give you all guys a chance to finish up with something you want to talk about, something you want to add to the conversation that I think will help us all understand EVs a whole lot better.
So I'm going to piggyback on what you just stated, Bill. The bills that are coming through the state legislature right now are incredibly important. And if this is something that you're either passionate about, interested in, or want to move the needle, this is going to happen. China's going to make it happen even if we don't. And so we
Norway, Germany, and Germany, France are already doing it.
Fill it on. So the horses are done. The gas cars are on their way out. And if New Jersey wants to be part of that progress, I think talk to your legislator. But then most importantly, test drive an electric car. I don't want to say buy an electric. Test drive one first, and then pretty sure that you're going to be intrigued.
I think you're absolutely right.
I would just say in terms of municipal doing some municipal planning work. Tom talked about his North Brunswick's ordinance, and it's a great ordinance. And there are, when you started, Tom, there were very few examples to which to draw from, right? So you have one, and I believe now that I think you mentioned we were off air about East Brunswick perhaps having one. I know the borough of Highland Park, in which I live now, is introducing an EV ordinance. So there's going to be more templates. And for those listening and want to, sort of take this up, I mean, there are plenty – there's more resources than there were a few years ago. It's going to get easier to do this planning. And so the other thing I would say is in terms of we were talking about ordinances that perhaps mandate, maybe ordinances that release the barriers, not seeking site plan approval for when you want to add chargers after the fact, right? I know that, yeah.
Yeah, and you had actually asked earlier, Jeff, if you want to come back to us. We are granting administrative approvals to put electric vehicle charging stations in existing developments.
Yeah. Great.
And, I think if I could only say one thing to all of your listeners, it would be to realize how viable of an option this is for everybody. Half the cars that are on the road in New Jersey today are going to be replaced in the next 5 to 7 years. So there's a lot of opportunities for people to choose one of these electric vehicles rather than what they would normally do. There's over 45 plug-in vehicles on the market today.
Thank you so much. Thank you all for coming. Join us next week. We're going to be talking about the value of travel and tourism for the state of New Jersey. Thank you all for joining Mobility Matters.